This meeting is now being recorded.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you callers in. We are very happy to be offering this spiritual outreach call to members of the Order of Malta, their families, and their friends. We are trying to reach out to people who have not been able to come to activities and could use some spiritual uplift. In addition to that, I would like to say that this morning we have the pleasure of Reverend Monsignor William J. Fadrowski's presence as our speaker. In 1985, first of all, let us say our prayer, our Hail Mary to Our Lady of Lourdes. Hail Mary, full of grace.
Full of grace, the Lord is
with thee. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of our Lord Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Now, I would like to tell you that Monsignor Fadrowski has a very interesting background. In 1985, after 25 years as a married brother, he began his studies for the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Newark. He was ordained in November of 87, and in January of 88, was assigned as parochial vicar at Queen of Peace Church, North Arlington. In March of 91, Monsignor Fadrowski was appointed director of the Archdiocesan Catechetical Office, and also served on the board of directors of the National Catholic Educational Association. Monsignor Fadrowski was appointed executive director of the Office of Clergy Personnel and director of priest personnel in January of 96. He is currently pastor of Queen of Peace Church in North Arlington, New Jersey. He is also a magistral chaplain of the Order of Malta and serves as don of the parishes in South Bergen County. Monsignor Fadrowski holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in French from Marist College, a Master of Arts in Education, and a Master of Divinity in Pastoral Ministry from Seton Hall University. We are delighted to have you with us, Monsignor, and thank you so much for agreeing to give a talk for us today. Monsignor?
Thank you so much, Sheila, and welcome to everybody here. What a great pleasure and privilege it is for me to be able to speak to you today, especially as we approach the beginning of Holy Week. Let me begin with just a brief experience that I had a couple of weeks ago. In the first week of March, along with several members of the Order of Malta from the New Jersey area, we traveled to Guatemala. Along with several members of the Order, I serve on the board of a group called From Houses to Homes, Guatemala. It was founded 10 years ago by a group of people, including many members of the Order, to build simple cinder block houses in poor rural villages surrounding Antigua in Guatemala. And the group that went down in the beginning of March went down to see the different works that were being accomplished there. So far, the group has built almost 900 houses in these poor rural villages.
Oh.
And in addition to that, we have two schools. Each school has about 150 students, pre-K through sixth grade, and a medical clinic that in the past 5 years has had 18,000 visits. There's a full-time doctor and a full-time dentist on the staff of the medical clinic. And as I said, many of the people from the Order in New Jersey sponsor this wonderful organization, as well as many other people actually throughout the world. We're hoping next year to build our 1,000th home. But the interesting thing about where the area is located is that our base of operation is in Antigua, Guatemala, not to be confused with the island in the Caribbean.
Yes.
But Antigua is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and from 1543 till 1773 was the capital of colonial Central America. And the great thing about Antigua has to do with Lent and Holy Week. Next week, there will be over 60,000 people who will gather in Antigua to see the incredible religious processions that take place during Lent and during Holy Week. Since the 1600s, these brotherhoods and sisterhoods have built massive floats with life-size statues of Jesus carrying his cross of Our Lady of Sorrows, and they're brought through the streets in procession, along with funereal music, along with carpets made on the cobblestone streets out of colored sand and flowers. And it's just a great testimony to the piety and to the devotion of these people over the centuries. There are thousands of people who participate in this, and it just is a wonderful spiritual experience for people to come to see, to come to meditate on the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, for those of us who can't be in Antigua during Holy Week, we have another way of really getting closer to Jesus, as we've been trying to do throughout this time of Lent, throughout these days of Lent. And I would like to just reflect with you a little bit on what will be happening in our churches throughout the world during the Sacred Triduum, the time in the church year when we stop business as usual in order to celebrate in slow motion the passion and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This celebration begins, of course, with Mass on Holy Thursday, continues through Good Friday, and ends with the Easter Vigil. And the Triduum is something like a three-day marathon of prayer. Its rituals, its traditions are something that I think can touch the minds and hearts of everyone. For many years here in the parish, I have worked with the RCIA process, helping those people coming into the church to experience the depths of Christ's love for us. And the Triduum is something that I think everyone as a Catholic needs to experience, if not yearly, at least once during their lifetime, because it's what we're all about. Many other religions have their high holy days, but for us, these days of prayer, these days of reflection, these days of drama, really, bring to us a sense of how deep is the love of Jesus Christ for us, and how through sign and symbol the church portrays those final hours in the life of Jesus Christ. On Holy Thursday, the Feast of the Lord's Supper, it's a time for us to remember when Jesus instituted the Eucharist as his disciples gathered to celebrate the Passover. It's a Mass which is filled with deep sense of emotion. The Gloria is sung for the first time since the beginning of Lent. The church bells ring and then are silent and will ring again only at the Gloria at the Easter Vigil Mass. It's also the feast of the institution of the priesthood. Jesus gathered with his disciples, celebrate the Passover, but also Jesus gives them the right, the privilege to celebrate the Eucharist carried on for 2,000 years from then until now. Another unique feature of the Sacred Triduum, of course, is the washing of the feet. At the Last Supper, Jesus takes a basin and a towel, gets down on his hands and knees, and washes the feet of his apostles. After this action, he commends the apostles, "I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." This is the commandment of Jesus. Just as Jesus has been a servant to his apostles, so the apostles must go out into the world and be servants to everyone around them. And this is something that we, as members of the Order of Malta, are also called to do in our daily lives. We're not literally called to wash each other's feet, although sometimes that may be the case. But that action of washing the feet reminds us of this call of service, particularly to the sick and the poor, particularly for those in need. That washing of the feet isn't a recreation of an event in the past, but it commemorates the action that reminds us that God calls us first and foremost to be servants to others in our daily lives. We are called to be Christ to the world. And then the Eucharist is celebrated. At that very first Last Supper, Jesus instituted the Eucharist for us, for the church. And on Holy Thursday, we're reminded of who we are in Christ Jesus, and that through the sacrament of the Eucharist, we become the body of Christ together. At the conclusion of that Holy Thursday celebration, there is no concluding prayer. Once the celebration is completed, there's a Eucharistic procession where the Eucharist is brought from the altar to the Chapel of Reservation. And that procession to the chapel reminds us of the time that Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed so fervently throughout the night. The entire community is invited to join in the procession, and then join in that silent prayer and adoration until night prayer, when the Eucharist is put away in the tabernacle. The community leaves in silence only to return the next day for the celebration of Good Friday. And of course, many of us remember the custom, which we still keep here, of taking the time after the Holy Thursday service in our own parish and visiting other churches to come and to pray with the Lord as he, in the garden, comes to recognize and to reconcile himself to the will of his Father. But there are questions, I think, that we need to ask ourselves as we approach Holy Thursday. Who are the people who we need to help the most in our lives? And are we willing to get down on our own hands and knees to help those who are unable to help themselves? Certainly, if we're not able to do that physically, we certainly are able to do it in some way or another. And perhaps maybe even we need to ask ourselves the question, do I allow other people to help me when I am in need? Do I allow other people to be the hands and the voice and the face of Jesus Christ to me? And certainly on Holy Thursday, the other question we need to ask ourselves is, what does the Eucharist mean to me? Have I grown in love? Have I grown in appreciation of this great gift of God, this great gift of himself, that gift that he calls us to share by each one of us being Christ to others? The silence of Holy Thursday and the quiet of Good Friday morning lead in the afternoon to the celebration of the passion and death of our Lord. And that service is marked by several important rituals, the first of which is the proclamation of the Passion, according to John, in most places read in three parts. And then there's the prayers for all the world, for all of those who are in need, for our civil officials, for other churches, for those who don't believe in God, for those even who seek to harm us. And then the distribution of Holy Communion, which was consecrated the night before. Our purpose here also is to come to the cross. The cross is dramatically brought down the aisle of the church, and the cross, that instrument of torture that was used to crucify Jesus, reminds us that through the cross, the glory of the resurrection emerges. On Good Friday, we come forward with reverence to kiss that cross, to kneel before it, to touch it, to show us God's love for us, to show us that we as a community come close to such a tragic event, that that tragic event turns death into life for us. Those general intercessions that I spoke of earlier in many places might be compared to spiritual aerobics, as we're asked to stand and to kneel and to stand again. And these general intercessions, all 10 of them, invite us to pray for the entire church, for the unity of Christians, for the Jewish people, for those who do not believe in Christ or in God, for those in public office, for those who are suffering and facing difficult times. These prayers show us all how universal our church is and how we should be aware of all of the faiths and traditions in the world that are different from our own. As we kiss that cross on Good Friday, we need to reflect on what does the death of Jesus mean to me, and what does it mean for each one of us to glory in that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We leave the church in silence on Good Friday, perhaps to return for the stations of the cross. But other than that, the church is empty, the church is barren, the Eucharist isn't present, the altar is stripped, and just the cross is there as that great symbol of Christ's love for us. And then in the evening of Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil begins with the readings that tell us the whole story of salvation from creation to resurrection. It might be on the lengthy side, but at the same time, that length gives us the entire view of the love of God for us, shown first to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, and then through Christ to each one of us. The Easter Vigil begins in drama with the lighting of the Easter fire and that lighting of the Paschal candle and the procession, the singing of the Easter proclamation, and listening to the whole history of our salvation. It's also a time when adults are baptized or received into the church, and then again the celebration of the Eucharist. The church once again is decorated, the bells are rung, the glory is sung, and we realize that because of Jesus Christ, each one of us remembers that he loves us and that he is the one who is bringing us to that joy, to that eternal life someday. There are two moments in the celebration that we listen to and that we enter into. And the one is that singing of the Exultet, or the Easter proclamation. It speaks of how God intercedes in our lives for us. It speaks and recalls that night when Jesus rose from the dead. What makes that moment particularly dramatic is that the Exultet is sung in a church only lit by the light of the Paschal candle and the smaller candles held by the people. In order to pray this hymn, we need to reflect on those words, to try to come to hear the wonderful story of how God throughout history has come into the life of all. And then there are the readings, the liturgy of the word, the story of creation, the story of Isaac and Abraham, the story of Moses and the Exodus, all of those things leading us to the fact that Christ is risen, that he is the center of our lives, and that he calls us to bring his love, his peace to others. As we come and keep that in mind, we realize how God has interceded from the beginning throughout the time on behalf of all of humanity. That Easter vigil celebrates God present and always working in our lives today. And perhaps we can reflect on how God has interceded in our own lives, in the lives of each one of us. I think for many of us, our call to serve him through the Order of Malta has been a most profound influence on our lives, whether it be the work that is done in the various areas for the sick and for the poor, whether it be the pilgrimage to Lourdes, where so many of us have come to serve the malades who were brought to us, whether it be the work of Holy Family Hospital in Bethlehem, near the place where Jesus was born. All of these works certainly have been gifts of God to us, because we, as chaplains and as members of the order, certainly have been gifted by the grace to be able to be the presence of Christ to the sick and the poor. We need that boost. We need that time during Lent, and especially during Holy Week and the Triduum, to recharge ourselves so that we can recommit ourselves to the promises of baptism, which we do at the Easter Vigil. We promise to serve God faithfully, to be people of faith, to be people of hope, and as Pope Francis reminds us, to be people of joy and people of mercy. And with those things in mind, we ask the Lord to give us the strength, we give us the courage to continue to serve him. Those who are afflicted with illness themselves know of the love and the care of their families, of the church, and in particular of the other members of the order who certainly are praying for them during this time. What a beautiful and blessed time of year we have here as we come to share with Christ his resurrection, his passion, his death, to help each one of us to draw closer to him, to allow ourselves to commit ourselves to be people of faith and people of hope, how we can carry the resurrection to the lives of other people in our own world. We come here today to reflect on that, to remind ourselves of God's love for us, to remind ourselves of the great work that he accomplishes and has accomplished throughout the past 900 years of the history of the Order of Malta. The Alleluia, which we will ring out throughout the world on Easter Sunday, will help us to see in our own lives that Jesus indeed does come to give us life, to give us hope, to lead us on that path to eternal life. In closing, let me pray with you the daily prayer of the order. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service among the knights and dames of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee, through the intercession of the most holy Virgin of Palermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints and blessed of our order, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against the enemies of religion. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, ever learning from the Holy Gospel a spirit of deep and genuine Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. May all of you experience the joy of new life in your own way during this Easter season. May you all have a happy and blessed Easter. God bless you all.